live righteously. It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. This is a special episode which was supposed to be put up on the website on Thanksgiving, and I didn't do it.
Who dropped the ball?
It wasn't necessarily that a ball was dropped. Why does it have to be a blame thing like that?
Maybe there's too many balls being juggled.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. So it's inevitably, you know, but they're bouncy, so they go right back in the air,
exactly.
And now this will get posted.
There you go.
So it dropped, no. Gravity had its place.
Bounced, yes.
And now it's bounced back up, but you can't have a bouncy ball without gravity and it touching the ground.
Okay, touche.
And, you know, so there, take that.
Okay.
We're going to be visiting with the folks from Heritage Tours in blocks 2 and 3 of that. That's groups that they take your high school kids to see the church history sites.
Oh, neat.
And build your testimonies, and they talk about how you can send your kids or your brothers or sisters or become a chaperone on it.
Mm.
All sorts of stuff. And obviously talk about the sites, not, and then we get on the bus, and then we go here, and then we do. No, it's pretty cool. Cool,
okay.
Guys. They've been doing it for 30 or 40 years, so they have some great stories. So that's coming up in the second and third block. But I had this email that I received over the weekend that I wanted to share with you, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm good, Richie. How are you?
I'm decent. Thank you for asking.
Good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just eat.
Eat and sleep.
Eat. Yep.
You?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Ate and
sleep. Did you have to cook?
I did a few things, but not the majority of it, no.
What did you cook? Do you have a special?
My green bean casserole.
With the,
which everyone can make.
With the cream and mushroom soup?
Yeah, oh yeah,
and
clearly.
The dried onions or whatever?
It's really just mixing things in a bowl. It's not really baking. But
you know why it came about? I learned this over the weekend. Do you know why that came about?
No.
Campbell's wanted to sell more cream and mushroom soup, so they had a competition for recipes with their cream and mushroom soup, and then they just promoted the heck
and
out of it.
And that's it.
And that's how that came about, and that's how it became a Thanksgiving tradition.
Well, see, my husband claims that it's not a Thanksgiving tradition.
No, it is.
And
your
I'm like,
an
no,
idiot.
I know. I'm like, yeah. No, I have to have it on Thanksgiving. And he's like, I think that's a you tradition. That's not really a Thanksgiving tradition.
Do you need me to call him? I'll call him.
It's okay. I can handle it. But yeah,
I will. I'd do
made
that
sure
for
I made
you.
That. You would?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Okay. So this is an email from a guy who said, don't share my name if you read this.
Okay.
All right. So here you go, guy. Says, hey, I've been a fan of the podcast for some time, and I want to thank you for the good work that you're doing. I particularly loved the conversation with Miss Barberry, which perfectly reflected the kinds of discussions we've all had hundreds of times, or several if you live in Utah,
mm-hmm.
with those not of our faith.
Yeah.
He says, I have one very minor quibble with the show, but I thought it was worth mentioning. He says, the practice of calling those who have been listening from the beginning lifers and those like me who jumped on board later as converts, who can then progress to the more desirable lifer status by listening to all the podcasts. So for people who don't know, if you've just only listened to some of them, you're called a convert. If you listen to the whole thing, we call you a lifer. And then when people email us, we love to hear if you're a lifer or a convert based on that. He says, it's all done in fun, surely, but it unintentionally mirrors the sad truth that many who have converted to the church end up feeling like second-class citizens therein. Those who don't come from, quote, good LDS families or, quote, hardy pioneer stock often feel left out of the full Mormon experience, despite the fact that oftentimes more faith, tenacity, and sacrifice is required of them than those born in the church. And then he shares an example that I can read in the New Era, which I'm not going to. Nowhere in the church should converts be made to feel this way, and by discontinuing convert and lifer designations, the Cultural Hall can do its small part to give our wonderful converts the high esteem in our culture they so rightly deserve.
Okay.
And so he says, may I suggest a few potential replacements?
Okay.
A list of the very best podcasts and call them Podcast Mastery Podcasts.
Okay.
Like your Scripture Mastery.
Right, yeah.
That are required listening for all fans of the show. Those who have listened and have passed them off then have obtained their podcast mastery.
See, that hurts my feelings because I never passed all my Scripture Mastery.
Right? But,
so,
And that leads to this whole thing of why I'd like to say that I feel like it's different. But then he goes, you could do the those who listen to all episodes earn their Duty to Richie Award.
Okay.
Too sacrilegious? Yeah, probably. I take that back, he says. And then he goes on to suggest a few guests that he thinks that we should have on the show. I'll share those with you briefly. The woman who played Mahana in the original Johnny Lingo, he says, would be interesting.
Okay.
The former BYU professor, Stephen Jones, who was fired in 2006 because he thought that 9/11 was an inside job, and he was a BYU professor. Mm-hmm. Comic book artist Mike Allred, who did a multi-volume graphic novel of the Book of Mormon, and KUED, which is a station here in Utah, general manager Mike Dunn, who's also used to be a stake president. So he suggests those. And he says, best wishes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So here's the thing. Here's why I think that it's different is, and you tell me, because you come from, you know, Maine, from outside. I think that it's okay because it allows people to have the chance to be a lifer, whereas you can't be. If you're a convert to the church, that's what you are. You're always a convert.
Right. You can never become a lifer.
Yeah, because you're a convert.
Yeah.
But with the podcast, let me pull this back a little bit, guy, who we're not going to mention your name. The real reason is we just want you to listen to all the episodes.
Right. There's no more hidden meaning than that, yeah, other than go listen to the episode. I want to just like sort of respectfully disagree with Guy, because I feel like that maybe this is just me personally. I revere converts to the church because I think it's fascinating how people found the gospel and found their story, mm-hmm, and were subsequently baptized. Like, I find that fascinating. Whereas me, even though I do come from outside of Utah, I was born and raised LDS. And, you know, you often wonder, where would I have found it had I not had it all, mm-hmm, the way growing up? So I understand his point that he's saying, you know, that converts shouldn't be just considered less than lifers. And I would hope that I don't do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but I sort of feel like I personally revere converts just for being able, you know, finding that. And
find it and then stick to it.
Yeah.
A lot of people sacrifice things when they join the church, et cetera.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand his point, and I hope we're not adding to that disrespect, but yeah, I think it's nothing
but
more.
But we
than
disagree. That's what we're saying.
Respectfully.
But I do like the idea of podcast mastery podcast.
Sure.
Where we have all right, so if you want to become a podcast master, which then sounds like a dungeon master, which then sounds like Dungeons and Dragons, which is way too nerdy, but having like a list of, all right, so maybe you can't hit all of them.
Right.
But you should hit these 25 or these 10 or whatever.
I know. I wonder if we could come up with another name. His ideas were good and I don't have any better, but
the duty to Richie. Yeah.
That's a little,
yeah,
like,
it's a little much.
That's a little praise Richie.
Yeah,
and
none
of us need that.
No. Yeah. Especially me. Especially me.
Yeah.
But if you had to pick one podcast for the podcast mastery of all the episodes, what would you pick?
To go back and listen to?
Yeah.
The Gina Barbieri interview, for
is
sure.
Yours?
Yeah. I listened to that one, and I got to admit, I'm a convert. Mm-hmm. I am not a lifer, frankly, because I don't have time to go back and listen to all of them.
It's only an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Each episode.
Yeah, times what, 60 episodes?
You have
episodes?
A commute, okay.
Okay, all right, I'll get on it. Anyways, the Gina Barbieri episode was just fantastic. The way you were able to just kind of describe in plain terms some of the deep, deep elements of the gospel. And it was really fascinating. And so I recommend that to all our listeners.
There it is. There's your podcast mastery
That's
guy.
Right. Bring it on.
And who knows? Maybe this special episode about heritage tours will be another one.
There you go.
That's coming up in the second and third block of the Cultural Hall.
Are you looking for meaningful Christmas gifts for your friends and family? LDSBookstore.com is your one-stop shop for everything LDS. We carry quality products for all ages, including beautiful framed art, inspiring books, fun accessories, inviting home decor, and more. Give a gift this year that is truly one of a kind with our affordable customization options like ring engraving, scripture embossing, and even custom temple art. We make shopping online simple, hassle-free, and easy on your wallet. Your order will be handled with care, and you'll love our friendly customer service. Do all your Christmas shopping this year at LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO to get free shipping. That's LDSBookstore.com and use coupon code RADIO for free shipping.
It is the second block of the Cultural Hall here, and at Terra Mia Ristorante. Have you guys tried the gelato yet? Have you ever been here before?
I've never been here.
It's right by University Mall down in Orem. Ernesto is the guy who owns the place. He's about to get married. Congratulations to Ernesto. And he's right by the Cinemark Theater. And I can see the University Mall from where I'm sitting as well. An excellent place to take your EC on a Friday night. So think about it, gentlemen or ladies. That's Eternal Companion. If you
gotcha. Okay.
Both Jim and Bob here going, huh? Okay, I think I get this. These guys are from a group called Heritage Tours, which I know nothing about.
So I'm just going to ask one of you guys to tell me essentially what that is.
Well, basically, Richie, it's a tour of youth. It's we specialize in the youth tours.
Okay.
Been doing it for 38 years.
Okay.
Since 1974.
So you take people around the country to see youth. It's tours of youth. Is that?
No, it's not tours of youth.
Okay.
It's a church history tour.
Oh, okay. and is it, so is it a set, like EFY? Is it something like that? Especially for youth, for people who don't know what EFY is?
Yeah, it's a, you know, a program which we teach on the buses, and we hit all the church history sites. We, 20 days out on the road, do a lot of teaching on the buses, a lot of singing, and it's just been a great program. We for 19 years, it was a tent tour.
A tent tour?
We stayed in KOA campgrounds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, still visiting the church history sites and everything. So over the years, we've seen a great evolution of these sites, and kind of evolved into what we're doing. Basically now a missionary prep sort of a tour.
And so you said this has been going for 38 years, is that right?
1974 we started.
So, and that was both you, Bob, and Jim that started this thing?
First time I was involved was in 1992, so I came into it probably 20 years or so after Bob had started. Started helping him just periodically. Summer here, summer there, went with a couple of my kids, and the last few years I've been more consistent, able to go with him every summer.
Yeah, once you get away from the tents, you're like, I'm in.
You know, let's, I went this. The first summer with tents, had a great experience, but we were really excited the next year when he announced it was going to be motels, and it's been much more comfortable since.
So then you were the one who created it then, this idea of heritage tours?
Yeah. 1973, I went on another youth tour out of southern Utah.
Okay.
I was a bus driver. I've been driving buses for other tour companies.
Greyhound?
No. Oh, I did Lakeshore.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But I did tours back east, and they asked me to be the driver on this tour. I went with them. It was a 23-day tour. I got back and I said, you know what, we ought to do this. At the time, I was the principal of the seminary at American Fork.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the stake president and said, can we do this? And for the first 2 years, we did it as the American Fork Seminary Tour.
Oh, wow.
But then one of the general authorities came down to a stake conference, and they were talking about it. And he said, well, we can't let them go. Yeah, in the name of the church, because mm-hmm. of a liability.
Sure.
So I had a friend who was an attorney, and we got established as Heritage Tours. We were going to call it Pioneer Trails,
mm-hmm.
but then we settled on Heritage Tours.
How did you come up with the name?
Oh, just, you know, thinking about what it's all about. Teach these kids about the heritage, the legacy they have as members of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And help them to see what that is in their life.
So give me an idea of like what the itinerary would be. You say it's 20 days, right? So I fly out, or am I bussing out?
We're bussing all 20 days.
Start in Salt Lake?
Right here in American Fork.
Oh, in American Fork, right where it started.
Right where it started.
The original Heritage Tour, the OHT, as I like to say. So it starts in American Fork. And then is it straight to Palmyra, or do you go to Sharon, or where no, what kind of?
No, we've changed the tour over years. We used to go through Nauvoo first,
mm-hmm.
But then as we've looked at the program and everything else, we've sort of changed it. One of the things we do now is we go up through Morton's Cove, then we go out through Winter Quarters.
Okay.
We finally
Martin's
end
Cove
up,
is in Wyoming, correct? And Winter Quarters is
in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
Then we end up in we go all the way to Elkhart, Indiana for just a travel day. Then we end up our first really well not our first because you know Martin's Cove and the place at the Winter Quarters
mm-hmm.
is church history, of course.
Yeah.
But then we really start in Hiram, Ohio.
Okay.
Kirtland area, and then it's over into Palmyra. We go up into Niagara Falls, and then we go to Sharon, Vermont, birthplace of the prophet.
So you kind of go backwards.
We go backwards.
Chronologically.
We've thought of that over years. We just emphasize the spirit of the place. Mm-hmm. It's not so much that we want to do chronologically, but we do it in a sense, what we think is important, because we go, when we get to Sharon, we talk about the birth of the prophet, of course, and the prophet's influence. And then we teach him as we come back. And so we go back to Nauvoo now. And then at the end of the tour, we go to Carthage, where his life was ended. And we sort of do that chronologically.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Hiram, Ohio. For people who wouldn't know about the significance of Hiram, Ohio, go ahead and speak to it.
Hiram, Ohio is where Joseph and Emma stayed for a time period with the Johnsons. It's a place called the Johnson Farm. Mm-hmm. Some very significant sections of the Doctrine and Covenants were received there.
Like That's what?
Doctrine and Covenants section 76, for example.
Which is?
The degrees of glory, etc. That's the place where we all know from church history, the mobs broke in, the twins were there exposed. Joseph and Emma's had already lost a set of twins. They'd adopted another set of twins. There those twins were exposed to the elements, whatnot. So it's a great place to get a feel for kind of what Joseph was going through as he was reorganizing the church and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Kirtland, obviously, some great things there with the
like
temple
what?
And everything. The Kirtland Temple, we actually make that a very significant spot. It was dedicated as a temple at one point. It's mm-hmm. true, the Community of Christ has that building at
Which
this point.
Which is the Reorganized Church. It's the name right. of the Reorganized Church.
Name now, the Community of Christ. So there we go on up, as he says, into Palmyra. We also come back down and give them a little experience of the world in that we go to New York City. We often will go into Washington, D.C. One of the original things with the tour, with heritage tours, was kind of focusing on the heritage of the United States, too, the Constitution, whatnot, trying to give a little link there of a free nation for the gospel to be restored, whatnot. But then we start hitting again, Susquehanna River, priesthood mm-hmm. restoration, coming in, as you said, to Nauvoo. The highlight has got to be in Missouri. A lot of the sites in Missouri.
Like what?
you like that question, don't you?
I think, well, here's the thing that I love about the Cultural Hall and that I will constantly insist upon. I think that within our culture, we assume far too much about people.
That's a good...
People's conception or even understanding about their own history of the church. There are... I would be very surprised if there were people who are 20 or 30 years old who would go, Hiram, Ohio, I have no idea
what
would
those,
be there.
Those 20-year-olds ought to come on our tour with us, and we'll really help them get an yeah. experience of what it's really all about
but
and teach them.
But for those who haven't had the opportunity yet okay. to go on heritage
so
tour.
Just a quick, for example, in Missouri, you've got Jackson County, you've got Adam-on-Diamond, you've mm-hmm. got things that have an incredible history, but as Latter-day Saints, we also believe there's a future in the church there, too. And mm-hmm. so as we're coming back, we end with the martyrdom of Joseph in Nauvoo. Mm-hmm. We hit those sites in Missouri that have a future and got a couple days driving home. These kids are really thinking now, okay, what does church history really mean to me? Mm-hmm. I've been to these sites. What does this do? How do I apply it to my life? What does this do for my future? We've been teaching things about missionary prep the whole way. Okay, now how do I go out and teach this to the world? Mm-hmm. How do I now apply this into my life to make a difference? Am I really converted to this? Do I really understand what this means to me in my life? And it ends up being literally a life-changing experience. And that's perhaps why I've kind of supported Bob in this, is because I've seen the influence he's been able to have as these kids in their peer group really study on site. They begin to experience it, because on site it's not just conceptually understanding, mm-hmm. but they're actually experiencing church history and what it means in their future and whatnot.
Yeah, the conception and understanding, I'm sure, to be like, Joseph Smith was shot, and yeah. then to be like, and here is the door in which
there. And there's a different thing when they're standing there feeling it and understanding. Right. And those missionaries in those sites, may I just say something about them? They are so well prepared, sister missionaries, couples, whatnot. It's a great thing. But the interesting thing is that Bob really prepares these youth ahead of time, so that by the time they arrive at the site, these missionaries are another witness to things they've been studying on the bus as they're coming in. Bob has emphasized, this is not a senior trip. This isn't just come get on a bus, have fun with your peers. Mm-hmm. This is an educational experience, a missionary experience. There's commitments that are expected of them, and they come in and they pay a price. And inevitably, those missionaries will often say as we leave, man, your group was prepared differently than most we've had. We've been able to go to another level of sharing testimony, teaching, sharing insights, whatnot, because you came prepared in a way we seldom see groups coming prepared. And I just throw that in. This man has 38 years of experience. He knows what makes it successful and what makes it different than every other tour out there. It's not just some fun senior trip. Come, learn the gospel, feel it, experience. It's an experience in travel, and it really does affect lives.
You see why I have him involved?
Yeah, I know, right?
You can tell, right?
When you came in, it was just like, man, now there's like this glow, and I'm waiting for the heavens to open and just come down and take you out of here.
He's great.
How fun is it for you guys to be with these kids going out and do this every year?
You know, I've been in the church education system for 40 years. I taught the youth all, that's all I did. And to be able to have this experience, I feel like I've been able to be with these young people, and for 3 weeks, I see more teaching going on than of course, there were other teaching in my classroom, but for them to go out and, like Jim says, to be able to experience it and to be able to be in those places. They've read about it in their seminary books and everything else, and now to walk in there, that's been the great thrill to me. And then to come home and see young people just literally change. We've had young people come home who, I remember a young man by the name of John who had a scholarship at Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, he went on the trip. He told me he was almost about 2 days for the trip he was going to call and cancel. But he went on the trip. He had an experience in Nauvoo at the women's monument that was dedicated.
The statue of all the different women?
Yeah, all the women that Preston Kimball dedicated. And he had an experience there with those statues because of his mother. And he became one of the greatest missionaries on that trip. When he got home, the next day, he went to Utah State and talked to the coach and said, I won't be here. I'm going on a mission. And it's those kind of experiences that we've had that are just, you know, you can't get them anywhere or replace them anywhere.
This is perhaps cynical of me, but how is it that most of these kids get into this program? Because I would think that this is a lot of, and forgive me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it's a lot of parents going, this will be good for you, you're going. And then kids come back and go, man, I'm so glad that I went. Or is it not that way?
You know, I'd like to respond to that. Being 38 years into it, Bob has established a tradition in the area where people know what type of a tour this is. Local priesthood leaders know what it is. Parents know what it is. But more importantly, kids know what it is. They see their older siblings go early in elementary years, junior high. They're starting to save up money. There's a lot of kids that are coming because it is absolutely their desire to come. Now, true, there are some parents who encourage because they've seen the difference it makes in lives. But without question, they know from the very beginning. We start our training in September to gear up for the next summer. And these kids know this is a commitment. And I'm prepared to pay the price because I want that type of an experience. I want to have a testimony-building experience at one of those sites or whatever else. So I don't know what the percentages are, but I would actually believe that it is a majority of the kids who have been preparing for years and years, and parents and grandparents help facilitate it. A lot of kids pay their own way. They work hard throughout their whole high school years. They know that this is coming up at the end of their senior year or in that time period. We've had a few juniors go, depending when they're getting their mission calls and whatnot. You know, we try to accommodate that. But we're really gearing to a student that is really ready to have a missionary type of experience, a learning type of experience, and not expecting a senior trip. So that's the type of kid that comes. That's the type of young man, young woman that signs up, knowing what they're getting in for. Kids that want the high school senior trip, there's other options out there.
That's what
Hawaii, Mexico, whatever, and they can go and do it. And we support that. We don't try to persuade them to come with us. We take those that are really serious about coming for the right reasons.
So you start preparing in September for the subsequent summer.
Absolutely.
What kind of stuff are you doing right now? Because that means you're already planning this next summer.
Yeah, we've started. And
so fill me in. What do I need to be doing? And when are we leaving?
Get on the website. We've got applications, everything.
That's right. Yeah.
But we have regular meetings. Bob, explain the meetings and kind of our theme of each of them.
Well, we start in September just to see, you know, we give them a heads up.
Hey, this is going on.
This is going on. This is what we're doing again, and mm-hmm. so on. We meet again in November. We'll have a meeting coming up here another week.
Okay.
And those that have signed up already will be able to see where they are. In the years past, we've had so many signs up, we've had to have a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've devised a situation how they come on the trip.
Okay.
We have these meetings to give them things to prepare for.
Like what?
Well, we can talk about missionary work. We have a missionary time. We also have every meeting, we talk about the rules and the policies and what we expect of you to do.
Which are?
Well, actually, to be missionary-minded, missionary standards.
Certain dress code.
Dress codes. You know, and over the years, at the bottom of the list, of which we have about, 10 or 12 rules,
mm-hmm.
we tell them, you know, we've been there, we've done it. All of these rules are set because of what we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
We have a list we give them of distractions that can distract them from the tour. Cell phones, texting.
Mm-hmm.
During the tour, we don't let them have their phones, because it's such a distraction to
yeah.
them. And we don't let them bring their own music. You know, their own iPads or their own
Walkmans.
Walkmans in the old days. Once in a while, we get somebody with a hood on that'll have some hair
yeah.
there
yeah.
that will kind of have them sneaking in. But these meetings, you know, through the year we have Jim comes, we have other people come that have been on the tour that talk to the kids about what they're going to experience. And we've actually this year cut out one of the meetings. We'll meet in November, and then we won't meet until March.
Mm-hmm.
But in that March meeting is important because we let them know that they can choose who they want to be with. We've set it up as sort of a missionary tool in the fact that the last 2 years, we used to have them divided into families.
Mm-hmm. Like on a trek, right?
Yeah, okay. On a trek. But now we have them as districts.
Oh, cool.
We call a district leader. We have two zones, so we have two zone leaders
mm-hmm.
who are over so many districts. And so in that March meeting, they'll come. We'll let them say who they'd like to be with, and then I get to put the crossword puzzle, which becomes probably the hardest thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Try to match everybody where they want to be, and then come back in April meeting and let them know where that is, they can start planning.
Could someone that doesn't live in Utah be a part of this?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
We've had them from international countries, all states all over the country. We do have a website,
www.ldsheritagetours.com.
Mm-hmm. Anybody can get on. A lot of times relatives of friends here in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anybody from anywhere could come and be a part of it.
We have a girl coming from Spain this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Last year we had a young man from Virginia that came. So, you know, we have a lot of California kids that come. Idaho.
Utahns? You get any Utahns?
Well, mostly, yes. Yeah.
You know what's interesting, though, is to watch all those kids interact together.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they're getting on the bus. They think, oh, should I really be going? I don't know anybody. Within 2 days, there is friendships there that last forever. We've got a couple of young ladies here with us today. Their parents went on it. Mm-hmm. They've been the type of young person that just reaches out, includes whoever is there. There's some friendships that are absolutely amazing that develop out of this. So
cool. Well, coming back in the third block, we're going to talk to actually a couple that have gone on the Heritage Tours. And then I want to talk about some favorite experiences from the tours and favorite sites to visit, because I'm totally nerdy about church history. That's coming back in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give him a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
It's the third block here at the Cultural Hall, and talking with the folks of Heritage Tours. Here in a second, we're going to talk with some participants relatively recently. We have both Caitlin and Chelsea who have participated in Heritage Tours. I want to talk about their experience. They're 18 and 21, respectively, right? And so we'll talk with them. But, you know, speaking of 18, now the game has changed, guys. You're talking about talking to 18 and even 19-year-olds, or was it always 18-year-olds?
It was a graduated senior. Okay. So the same thing applies. Because missionaries can now go out as a graduated senior, we're backing it up. And if a junior wants to go prior to their senior year, and, you know, we look at every scenario, every situation, every family, you know, and we'll take any exceptions, but you consider any exception. But we would let a junior go if they're planning on going their mission right afterwards. Mm-hmm. But like the brethren said, this is only one option. There may be still some wanting to go on their missions at 19 or later. They could still come as a graduated senior as well.
What if I'm in college? Can I still come? Or what's the age cutoff on the other side?
No, that's fine. We'd invite anybody to come.
I'm 32. I'd like to be going. What do we think?
We'd have you, and we'd have you going through the halls, checking on kids.
Okay.
I don't
think that's a good idea. Is there a way that I can go?
Yeah, he's 18. Yeah.
You could go any way you'd like.
Yeah,
you bet.
Could I really attend not as a chaperone, but as just someone on the tour?
Sure, if you pay the price.
Yeah,
you know, we would welcome anybody that wants to apply. We would look at anybody, any circumstance, and make our decisions from there. I would just mention though, Bob has done an adult tour as well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the fall, a fall foliage, whatever, it attracts a totally different crowd. You could talk to him about that.
Similar kind of thing, Bob? Do you take our phones away and the music and everything?
Not with the adults. We know they're a little bit more mature. And
no, but
so
see, that's
so
what I want.
You want to be controlled a little bit.
I don't have any self-control. I need someone telling me exactly what to do.
We can do that,
too. We can help you out.
All right, so let's talk to Caitlin and Chelsea a little bit. Now, you guys, Caitlin, you just went this last summer, is that right?
Yes.
And what made you want to do this?
Well, my mom actually went on Heritage Tours, and so did my older sister, Chelsea, and all my cousins went on Heritage Tours.
It was peer pressure, not necessarily that you were interested? You just didn't want to be left out?
Well, I saw the great experience that my sister had, and you're not a bad person, Chelsea, but she's not, like, you wouldn't pin Chelsea as, like, the Molly Mormon kind of person. Mm-hmm. And seeing her come back from Heritage Tours and the testimony that she had, and she did not want to go. Chelsea did not want to go on Heritage Tours.
No, I didn't talk to my mom the whole
way
down.
No, she did not want to go at all. And just seeing her come back and having her say, Caitlin, you have to go on Heritage Tours. I'm not kidding. For having me say that. So I said, all right, I'm down. I'll go. So
how come you didn't want to go so bad?
Just because my mom wanted me to go.
Right. It had probably had very little to do with church history, or maybe that doesn't interest you, but it was
I was
mom wants me to.
Yeah, and just because my mom wanted me to go, I didn't want to go.
So what was your experience like then?
Oh, I loved it. I went 3 years ago, and I still remember a lot of things, and I kept a journal, and I'm really happy that I did, because I wrote down a lot of the places that I went and what I did. And so, I mean, I can relive it anytime I want to.
What was your favorite experience?
I really liked when we went to Sharon, Vermont. I think that's really where I got a testimony.
What about it?
Just because Brother Elison talked about...
He's a teacher, I presume?
That's Bob.
No, that's Bob.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's Bob. You got to call him Bob, otherwise people won't know.
I'm not used to that.
Okay. I'm sorry, Brother Elison.
No, because I guess Bob...
Should I be calling you? Now I feel bad. No. Now I feel like I should be calling you Brother...
They call me Brother E.
Okay.
Brother E.
Yeah. No, he just told us about Joseph Smith, and we had, like, some of the missionaries talked about, you know, the importance of him being born there. And then we sang this song, and I started crying, and I've never cried from the Spirit before. And so, like, I mean, that's where I gave my testimony.
What song was it?
I think it was The Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Number two. That's one of the top 40 of the church.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Isn't there, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that we don't know that everyone goes,
not quite as much volume.
Yeah.
Prayer. And then there's the ones that you know, and it's like, oh, spirit. For you, what was your favorite experience, Caitlin?
Definitely when we went to the Peter Whitmer Farm, which was where the church was established.
That's in New York, Harmony, right?
Yes.
No. That's Harmony, Pennsylvania. New York is...
Fayette, New York.
Fayette. Okay.
I had an incredible experience there. So we...
I'm going to ask you, what was your incredible experience?
Okay. Well, I'll get there. I'll tell the story. So we went and saw the room where Joseph Smith established the church, like where they had the meeting and where they established the church. And then we had a fireside outside in the field that Brother Toon or Jim, yeah. Call him Brother Toon.
You can call him Brother Jim.
Brother Jim Toon. Brother Toon, he talked about missionaries and how each of us, I don't even really remember, but it was just the most incredible missionary talk. And then it started raining. Mm-hmm. So the missionary.
Was it raining or?
It was really raining. Okay. Like, it was actually rain.
So not just tears from your eyes.
Okay, but then the tears came, but that's later. So then we all went back on the bus, and then we gathered next to, or then it stopped raining, so then we finished the fireside next to the actual house where the church was established, or the church was organized. And then Brother Toon told us his story about, I don't know how to briefly explain this because it took him so long to tell it, but it was the most incredible. I've never felt the Spirit so much. He has such a powerful way
of speaking.
Tell him
to come on the tour. We'll tell it to him.
Yeah, it was so incredible. It's basically about how a father wouldn't deny his son of going on a mission even if he knew he was going to come back in a casket. And it was the most incredible experience. And then he asked us, Brother Toon asked us to go take some time in the field and just pray about whatever we thought we should pray about. And I have never been so humbled in my whole life and said such, like they say, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I didn't know what that meant until I was praying in that field. Mm-hmm. And I can pinpoint that is the most spiritual experience I've ever had in my life. And I, you know, said a prayer to Heavenly Father and the veil was so thin and I was so close to Him. And I got some of the most personal revelation and I made a promise to Him that I would serve Him just whatever it took. I didn't know if I was supposed to go on a mission. I didn't know if I was supposed to be a mother, but I just made a promise to Him that I would do whatever He would have me do. And it was incredible. It was, and I haven't forgot. I still say it in my prayers every day. Like, I haven't forgot that promise I made you. I will serve you whatever it takes. And so when they made that missionary announcement a few weeks ago, in conference, I knew immediately that I was supposed to go on a mission because of that experience that I had on Heritage Tours. So just that's slight, like that is minority. I don't know how I'm trying to say this, but
a sliver
of how incredible Heritage Tours is. Like that is just one tiny experience of how awesome it is.
What about for you guys? I mean, that obviously hearing that story from her has got to be a huge thing for you to be like, I mean, you don't want to be, I would assume you don't want to be like, yeah, we did that. We were able to provide that, because I don't take you guys to be those type of people. But it's got to feel good to be like, man, the youth have to go through so much and to provide these strengthening experiences.
Well, if I could respond to that really quickly, I think that is one of the reasons we do what we're doing and we love doing what we're doing, because it is not about Bob. It is not about Heritage Tours. It is not about me. It's not about any of the adults on board. Mm-hmm. What it is you get to a site like Fayette, New York, which she's just identified. You want to go and you want to understand the church history. This is where the church was organized. You go through what happened with the witnesses and to the Book of Mormon. You cover the church history that's there. Mm-hmm. But you also then even pull in, for example, the Book of Daniel and the dream of the rock rolling forward. And then you look out in the front of that chapel at that spot and it says, from here the kingdom of God began to roll forward on mm-hmm. April 6th. So then you take that, and these kids are now experiencing church history. So you then get, okay, how do you now help the kingdom to roll forward? Mm. And you start to make that personal application. You give them some time off by themselves to ponder, to talk to the Lord, if I could use that term. So you've taught the principle, and then you walk away. It's nothing to do with us. It's what now happens to them. Mm. And like has been expressed here, it will happen over and over in very individual ways for individual needs to those individual students, and they come back onto the bus having felt something from the Spirit. And that's all we're trying to facilitate. We want to teach them about the Prophet Joseph. We want to teach them about the Restoration. We want that to point them to Christ. This is all about Christ. It has nothing to do with the tour. It has nothing to do with the directors of the tour. Mm-hmm. It's what do we then do to simulate this into our own lives. And what do we do when we get back off the bus? And those kids walk off the bus, different individuals. Mm. And it's exciting to see that. And I'll be absolutely honest. As I'm approaching a tour, I'm thinking, I've got everything else I should be doing in my life. I've got my own family. I'm busy. Do I really have time for this? When I walk off that bus 20 days later, it is just such a sense of gratitude that, hey, this was exciting to see and to experience what these kids experienced. It is an experience in travel using church history, the scriptures and whatnot to help these kids get a testimony. These kids come with a testimony. Their priesthood leaders, their parents have already got that solidified in them. But to see that reinforced, it's awesome.
What's your favorite site and why? And I'm coming to you too, but I'm going to make him go first.
Wow. And
you're not allowed to say I like them all equal.
Well, it is so hard because every trip it's a different site, and it's the kids that make that site significant. But consistently, mm-hmm. the Susquehanna River, down there on the banks of that river with a group of young men who are for the first time maybe really seriously thinking about, wow, I'm out of high school or I'm at that point, I'm going on a mission. I hold the priesthood. What does this mean in my life? We separate them. The boys are looking at the girls. The girls are looking at the boys. The girls are analyzing, do I want priesthood in my home? I've got decisions ahead of me about marriage, whatever else. What does priesthood mean to me in my life? We always come up out of the Susquehanna River having had an incredible experience. And interestingly enough, and I share this with hesitation, but the Lord has been very kind to us there. The heavens have parted, dry skies have appeared to allow us to have that experience over and over and over again. It's miraculous what happens sometimes in those sites, and the Susquehanna River is perhaps one that is just consistently a highlight in many of the lives of these young people.
Were there other experiences on the shores of the Susquehanna besides Peter, James, and John, and also John the Baptist?
Well, that's primarily what's happening there. Joseph and Emma were there. There was, translation of the Book of Mormon. There was a lot of other things happening there. Joseph and Emma lost their first naturally born child, Alvin, who he named after his older brother. That child is buried there. Emma's parents are buried there. There's a lot of other church history we can pull into that.
But for the major experiences.
It's about the restoration of the prisoner. That's what separates us from all other churches. That's what really these young men need to understand. It's what makes them different out there in the world. And they're about to go out and testify to the world.
And young women. Don't rule out her.
And we make sure we always try to include that. Yeah. But absolutely, young women as well. And their role as mothers as well. So.
All right, Bob. Favorite site?
Well, you know, on that experience with the Susquehanna River, we've designed it so we come there the day after we've been to New York City, mm-hmm. with all the lights and all the fun and all the shopping and all the worldly things that they see there. Then we hit Susquehanna.
So it's intentional to do it that way?
It's intentionally to do that. And Jim does this wonderful thing there that shows the power that's in New York City, Wall Street, the lights, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And then you go and where this simple priesthood power was restored. And it's been a great thing. I've always said, and Caitlin will know, that I've always told the group, in fact, it's in my book.
What's the name of your book?
Well, it's just a Harry Storrs manual.
Oh, it's for look at this.
It's only 600 pages long.
Yeah, let me see this. Let me see this book I'm going to steal.
But it's got all the itinerary, and it's got all the preparation things and the study things we do.
What they're studying each day.
Studying each day. And so on. But we, in here, I say my favorite place is the birthplace of the Prophet Joseph Smith, Sharon, mm-hmm. Vermont. We call it the Bethlehem of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And to go there and stand on the very site, the very spot where the prophet was born, has always been to me. The first time I went there years and years ago when I took an adult tour back there as a bus driver, I went there, and as I got off the bus, they have the Tabernacle Choir playing up in the trees. Mm-hmm. I got off and I thought, there's some angels up there or something. but that's always happens there. And we have a fireside there, like Chelsea said. But that's always been my favorite place. And I've seen so many kids say that on the way home. We give them a little sheet as we come across Wyoming. You know, where's your favorite place?
Mm-hmm.
Sharon, Vermont has always listened. You know, the sad thing about that is that many people don't go there. There's tours that don't go there.
Well, and there's nothing. Correct me again if I'm wrong, but there's not really much there, is there? The home where Joseph Smith was born or lived isn't there.
It isn't there.
There's just
a visitor center, and there's a big pillar. Yeah, it's the spirit of the place that's there, and it's sad. I had a man who wanted me to show him some things of how to get around back there, and he said, "Well, we're going to New York, but we're not going to go up to Sharon." I said, "You know, that's so sad." You know, we could cut off 2 days of the trip if we didn't go to Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that every person who goes on the trip say that's a very special place. But I will also have to add, and it's purposely planned this way, is that 2 days before we get home, we go to Adamondayaman.
Mm-hmm.
And Adamondayaman seems to be the clincher. You know, what are you going to do? You've experienced all this and all this feeling and everything else. Now, one of these days, you know, Bruce R. McConkie said that all members of the church are going to have the opportunity to go there, to Adamondayaman, and to meet the Savior. And that's that meeting that's going to be in the future that's going to be there. And but the thing about it is, we have a coin we give the kids. I shouldn't say this because it's kind of a surprise when we get to the end. But we have a coin, and on it we have three remembers. There's a little one at the top. Remember what you saw. And then the next one is a little bit bigger. It says, remember what you learned. But the last one is larger, and that is, remember how you felt. Hmm. And that's what Jim was referring to, because those are the things that we see happen mostly on the tour.
Have there ever been any funny experiences that have happened on the tour that you guys can think of that you'd share?
Oh, absolutely. And we don't want to get off into too many funny to give funny ideas to people, but it's interesting. These are youth. These are kids with great personalities, great sense of humor. The humor is usually always 99% absolutely appropriate. It is fun to laugh with them. There's been some weird little miscommunications. A group that, for example, was trying to do some missionary work that ended up in an effort to try to help, ended up leaving the area and not having a way back, and we were so panicked. We were thinking Mormon kids have been abducted in Missouri. Who knows what's going to happen? And you know, so we can look back and we can laugh with hindsight at some of the events, but normally it's just good fun. This isn't just a hard learning experience, even though it is much a learning experience. These kids have a blast, and they create their own fun. It's the spontaneous humor that just develops with a group of 100 teenage kids, and it's fun, and we love being around it.
So. Can I add to that?
Yeah.
It's seriously incredible. I didn't know anybody going into Heritage Tours. I totally went on just not knowing a single person. And within the first couple days, I had so many friends, and, you know, you think, oh, my gosh, they take away your iPods and they take away your cell phones during the day. How am I supposed to survive? But seriously, that bus becomes a temple, and it becomes such a holy place, and you can laugh and make these friendships with these people when the spirit is there all the time. The spirit never, ever leaves on Heritage Tours because you don't have those distractions. And
you cannot compare it to anything else. And just having, like, everybody says, I wish I could just, you know, go back on Heritage Tours and just be on that bus and be with all those people because they remember of the spirit that they constantly felt on that bus.
So knowing that this is interesting, and I'm coming at you a little bit. So if, in fact, when you have your cell phone off and you have your iPod or whatever off, and you're able to be susceptible to the spirit, when you come home, why do you go back to those things?
Just habit, comfort, I don't know. But I do have, somebody somehow got all the music that we listen to on Heritage Tours. We listen to all these songs, and at the beginning you're just like, what is this music? What is this dated, like, 1970s song? What is this? And then by the end, everybody's like yelling at the top of their lungs. Everybody's doing the actions, like, it's crazy. It's so much fun. And somehow I got the Heritage Tours songs on my iPod, so now I like listen to those on Sundays, and I remember how I felt on Heritage Tours, and I like to read my journal and remember the things that I experienced on Heritage Tours, because I don't know, it's just incredible.
Let's talk business stuff about it real quick. How much does it cost if people are listening to this and going, man, I'd love for my kid to go, or if you're nerdy like me, I want to go?
Well, let me tell you, 1974, 17 days cost $250.
Okay.
That was the total trip.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah. This year, the cost will be
$2,200. $2,200
for
2013. For
2013. And that's 20 days. Everything's paid for except one venue in Niagara Falls. There's a number of things there to do. Mm-hmm. The Maid of the Mist and other things. And so we don't pay for that. But everything else is paid for. The Broadway show, everything else. We give them two meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
Motels, baseball game.
Professional baseball game we go to. So,
you go see Book of Mormon the musical on Broadway?
No, we don't.
No, that's not the Broadway show you go see?
It's not part of the itinerary, no.
What show do you go see?
Well, this last time we went and saw
Spider-Man. Oh, we've cool. done Lion King is a traditional favorite. I think we've got Newsies as an option. We've got, you know, we try to pick an appropriate...
Cool.
We're going to try and go to Newsies this year.
So if someone came, could they go see Book of Mormon musical? Would that be all right? Could I?
No, we would not encourage that, but if they wanted to have a pass-along card outside to pass to those coming out, you know, we'd encourage a little missionary work.
I'm just giving you guys a hard time. This huge binder of information. If people are interested, maybe they something like the Heritage Tour is an affordable form right now. Is there a couple of references that you would love to share with people so they can learn about some of the different historical sites, maybe more about Sharon or the like?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, in seminary, they get church history. We've sometimes said, you know, Brother Lund's books, Work in the Glory.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the young people have read those, and that gives them a sense of that. But...
Because I know if I were recommending for you guys to go to Kirtland, I would say Joseph Smith Kirtland, written by Carl Anderson.
Carl Anderson.
Is,
we actually have Carl Anderson speak to
he
us.
He comes and speaks to us.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of the thing I'm looking for. Right. Do you have other things like that where you're like, oh, man, this guy who's written this book?
You know, not so much. We have articles from, like Carl. We've got two articles in here from Carl from mm-hmm. his book mm-hmm. that I've gotten permission to use. And all the other sites we have. This year I put pictures in here of the sacred sites. This is the
School of the Prophets at the Noel K. Whitney store.
New course, yeah. And so we've,
sorry.
We've
like I said, that. A little nerdy.
But see, this is the section on Kirtland. Elder, one of the great talks we give them is a talk by Elder Ballard,
oh,
the
cool.
Kirtland Legacy, which explains his experience that he went there. And then we have all these other articles in here about Kirtland, significance of Kirtland, revelations received. Those are the steps that Joseph stood on when he
after he was tarred and,
well,
tarred and feathered?
When he was, yeah, yeah. I mean, he preached original steps, you know. So we have all this stuff in here that'll...
That's great.
That's the room upstairs where the...
Would you sell one? Would you sell one of those online? Could someone get one of those?
I'd give it one to you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That book, I might say... as a part of the tour this year, this book cost $42 to make.
And you'll just give it to me?
Sure.
Putting him on the spot. Here we go. Okay, so it's $2,200. If people want to get in touch with you guys, how do they do that?
Well, our website is ldsheritagetours.com.
Okay.
We're also on Facebook, Heritage Tours Facebook. On that website is our phone number. We have a phone number, 801-356-3489. That's the office phone.
Cool.
My daughter, Emily, is my manager. She does a wonderful job. And she won't give people my phone number.
That's probably
but
smart.
She takes she takes all the calls. And so
if you're listening to this and you do happen to be interested in it, make sure that you let them know that you heard about it on the Cultural Hall. I'd love to have that.
Sure.
To pass that along. And then also, before I let you guys go, something we ask all the people that come in here is, what is your guys' calling in your wards right now?
Well, I'm a home teacher. I've been a missionary up at the conference center for 3 years. A few years ago, been released from that.
Cool. Home teacher.
Currently, I'm in a stake presidency at BYU in a young single adult stake, working with a lot of the freshmen, YVU and whatnot in that stake.
What are you in the stake presidency?
First counselor.
There you go. So you're hoping he stays healthy.
Oh, absolutely. Came from the MTC prior to that, been a branch president up the MTC, so just happy to serve wherever.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, what would you pick? You can make one up, but if you could pick a calling for yourself, what would you pick to do?
I'd love to go back and teach in the stake institute programs of the church that they have around here. I did that for a while, 2 years, when I came back from California. I lived in California for about 12 years, came back and did that.
You know, I have to be honest and say that my experience at the MTC with a branch that had missionaries coming from the developing nations, for example, missionaries from places like mainland China, Nepal, Pakistan, the islands, Asia, whatnot, that were coming here to learn English, many of them first generation members of the church, that's probably been the greatest highlight of my life, is to work with missionaries coming from those areas excited to go out and teach the gospel. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
If I could just add one more thing. You know, over the years, to have men like Brother Toon.
And I'm sorry, who?
Jim.
Sorry, Jim. I've been blessed to have all of these teachers, seminary teachers, institute teachers. A year ago, I figured up that we've had over 130 years of combined teaching experience in the seminaries and institutes. That I have go, and we call them bus leaders, and they're the ones who run the bus and so on, and let me drive. And then when we get the sites, I do some teaching. But I'm just so grateful for the help we've had from these men. You know, especially Brother Toon's been with me for
I'm sorry,
almost
who?
Tornado. Brother Jim Toon.
Okay, last question before I let you guys out of here. What is your favorite part of your faith? Interpret it however you want to take that question, but what's your favorite part of your faith?
Wow, that's putting us on the spot a little bit. Family. I love being a dad. I love being married and the covenants I've entered into, the covenants that bring me back to the Savior. I love the plan of the eternal progression that I, with my family, have the opportunity to repent and progress and have the atonement in my life on a daily basis, and I cannot underestimate the power of that.
Same thing. How can you not say family is the most important thing? I have a wonderful family. It's a yours, mine, and ours family.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a wonderful wife that supports me. In all these years, my first wife died some years ago, but they've been so supportive of everything that I've done. I've been away from home a lot during these trips, you know, sometimes 40, 50 days during the summer, and they've supported me. But in regards to that, for our family, of course, the Savior, and Jim will know that probably one of my favorite things about the gospel is the part that the prophet Joseph Smith played. And I love the prophet. I don't know whether I have a connection with him or not. I was born, I don't know, get this wrong, I was born on June 27th.
Hmm.
the day that he was martyred.
Martyred.
And I've had that feeling, my love for the prophet, as we go to that particular place, and then also the birthplace of the prophet.
Hmm. All right, Chelsea, you get the last word, because that's how women are.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite part of your faith?
I didn't know I was going to be put on the spot.
That's what being put on the spot is all about, is that you don't know it.
Yeah,
you know it, that's not being put on the spot.
Jeez, thanks, Reggie. I just kind of like the opportunity whenever someone asks me to if, you know, I'm Mormon or what I believe in and everything. I love telling them that I am and just, like, what I believe in, I think. Just because, I mean, I'm not married yet and I don't have a family, so I don't think my, I mean, I love the family that I have, but I can't compare to those Bob and Jim over there. But yeah, that's what I like.
Cool. Caitlin, anything?
Let me think. Last time I said music, because that was, honestly, I have to stick with that. Well, actually, I don't know, probably eternal families. I can't wait to get a family of my own and be sealed in the temple and start that part of my life. Obviously, I think that's part of the whole plan of salvation. The most important part is eternal families, and I'm excited to be with my whole family up in heaven again one day. So that's my favorite part.
Cool. Again, the website is LDSHeritageTours.com. Check it out. And if you end up going, let us know about your experience with these guys. We'd love to have some feedback about that. Or if you have gone and have an experience that you'd like to share, we can share that in an upcoming episode. In the meantime, we hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to be able to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that as you're listening to this, that you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.